This is The Adam Ritz Show, a public affairs talk show touching on community, health, foundations, and more. The Adam Ritz Show is underwritten by Vibonomics, an audio out-of-home advertising marketplace and audio experience company. Info at Vibonomics.com. And now, from the Vibonomics studios, please welcome your public affairs radio host, Adam Ritz.
Welcome aboard, everyone. My name is Adam Ritz. This is The Adam Ritz Show, and we cover public affairs. We try to do it in style with a smile, partly because we like to smile and also because that rhymed, what I just said. And Jay Baker always enjoys a rhyme. He is our co-host, and we have him on the phone. Hey, Jay, how are you? Are you smiling?
Hey, I am very much smiling because, you know, the thing I love the best about this show is you and I know that public affairs is an important part of the radio world. Radio actually cares about sort of keeping you informed and keeping you up to speed on some local and national issues. And we've tried to bring some fun to that because you and I were in an era where, you know, everything was very down to earth. You know, the guys that delivered the news, they weren't smiling. They weren't cutting up. They were telling you the news and telling you good night. So we say, well, this is the same information, but we try to package it in, we try to put a little sugar on it. You know how that goes.
Yeah. And that's a great introduction for this first story. We've got a national news story that's almost a year old that we're going to put some sugar on top of right now. It was about a year ago in January of 2025 when the fires hit Southern California. And there is a charity concert planned for this coming January of 2026. It's called A Concert for Altadena. And Altadena, California, is a neighborhood just north of Pasadena. And they did sustain a lot of damage from those wildfires from about 10 months back. And they are still dealing with rebuilding and getting their lives back together, and there is a charity concert planned for this January. And listen to some of these names that are playing this show, Jay. I know you're going to love some of these. Jackson Brown will be on hand, as well as Mandy Moore, Brad Paisley, if you're into the cowboy hats. Also, Stephen Stills will perform. Everclear, a great Gen X alt-rock band from the 90s. Everclear, Art Alexakis, the front man for Everclear, he's one of my heroes, to be honest with you. He's just a fantastic artist, the brains behind at least 10 radio hits from the Everclear mid-90s to early 2005 days. You'll see them perform on stage, as well as Brandon Flowers, the front man from The Killers, will perform. Bunch of other names on this bill as well. It's a concert for Altadena at the Pasadena Civic Center. So that's a great venue with some size. And if you're looking for a great concert event that you can go to, a destination concert, and you enjoy Southern California, maybe this is something you might want to check out because your concert dollars will go to a great cause. And here's a great part of this whole entertainment charity relationship, Jay. This is a concert that isn't ever going to happen before or again. I mean, with this lineup.
Right.
Where are you going to see Brad Paisley, Stephen Stills, and Everclear perform at the same concert? So if you like variety and you like giving back and you want your entertainment dollar to go to a great cause, check out A Concert for Altadena. We'll put a link to this on our website, adamritzshow.com.
I like the idea of making it a destination event, because you're absolutely correct. The eclectic nature of some of these benefit concerts, I'm with you. I'd want to go just to see how on earth does one artist follow another, because many of them are very different in a positive way.
And you know, Jay, I just gave you the names that I'm familiar with, which was a very selfish way to report on this concert. I'm going to give you the names of the other performers. Maybe you know who they are, maybe you don't, but certainly several of our listeners will be clicking their fingers together going, oh my gosh, I love that guy. I can't believe you don't know who he is. Eric Krasno is another performer. Aloe Black, Judith Hill, Jenny Lewis, and a band called Ozomatli is a band. Ozomatli, and hearing it, you may think it's a combination of Ozzy Osbourne and Motley Crue. Ozzy Motley, that is not how it's spelled at all. So I don't think it has anything to do with the Blizzard of Oz or Motley Crue. Ozomatli. In fact, it's such a fun word. I might look them up and download some of their music just to see what they do.
Oh, my goodness.
But here's the other thing. If you go to this Destination Charity concert, maybe you'll walk out of there thinking, oh, my gosh, this Ozomatli, they were amazing. This is my new favorite band. Otherwise, yeah, you wouldn't have been exposed to it otherwise.
They've changed my life. They were so good. You never know. Hey, here's an interesting story. You know, lately college educations have come under a bit of fire because maybe they may be too expensive for some and they may not be as practical for students that get certain degrees. But a survey says, and we love surveys, 30% of Americans want a college redo. They'd actually like to go back to college at the current age and stage in your life. And while most people would look back and say, yeah, some of those finals that I took and some of those exams, I wouldn't want to jump into that again, but new research finds that about a third of Americans would do their college experience if they could. And they took a poll of 2,000 adults, both those who got a degree and those who haven't, said that they would yes to going back now. I will say that for those that maybe didn't get a degree, there is some interest in what if. So if you think about it, this is sort of that time machine element. What if, you know? I know I certainly would have made vastly different choices in my college experience. I'm not everyone, but, you know, I think it's food for thought.
I don't know if I would go back and redo it. I think I had a great experience and got a lot out of it. And I don't think my career path would be any better or different had I studied harder or, you know, maybe I could do the what if and say maybe I would have specialized a different major. Maybe I would have gone into a different field of vocation directly out of college. That's all possible regrets. But I think those are normal. We all have those. I will say this, Jay, that I've thought about this. I took a semester off during my college career. And I wasted another semester, so it took me 5 years to graduate. I was a 5-year college student, and I know for a fact, Jay, I'm gonna lay this out there as a fact, that if I went back today and took the exact same course load, I could graduate in 2 years. I know it.
Interesting.
I know it. Just being an adult and, you know, they always tell you this when you go to college, treat it like a job, you know, study 8 hours a day, Monday Great. Through Friday, 8 hours a day. So even if on the Tuesday, Thursday, you only have one class, 1 3-hour class, well, that leaves 5 hours that you should also be studying and doing coursework. So just treat every day like a 9-to-5 job. And I know for a fact, if I went back now and did a 9-to-5 I guess, daily routine, with that course load, I could graduate in, I'll say, 3 years tops. 3 years tops.
Well, I blame my lack of performance on the Hams 30-cube box.
Somehow, I think that, does that just sum up your college experience? Quote, unquote, what'd you call it? Lack of
performance.
Lack of performance. How was your college at Miami of Ohio? I would categorize it as a lack of performance.
Absolutely. When they started putting 30 of those little cans inside a box, I mean, that changed it all.
It changed
everything.
That was
the game changer. But yeah, those Americans that said they wanted to go back, their motivations were either to make more money or to have a more practical career, which is kind of been the case lately for a number of people that have questioned, if you have a practical career, do you necessarily need a four-year undergrad experience? And a lot of universities are looking closely at that. I spoke to a gentleman that helps build curriculums for local colleges here in our state, and he said that colleges are going to be at least, he didn't say under the gun, but they're going to be looked at very closely by those that say, hey, I need more two-year degree experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sort of fast track and, you know, get things going, you know, because 4 years of college or 5 years is not everyone's, you know, cup of tea for what they may want to do.
I have a topic that is completely different but related, if you have time, Jay. Can I tell you this?
Sure.
I heard this on a telecast this week. College basketball is back, and I've been watching some college basketball. And since we're talking about colleges, this is an interesting point. If you enjoy sports and are trying to figure out this new NIL world we live in, where college players are being paid, and they're being paid enormous sums of money. I heard an analyst at a game, calling a game this week, predict that this will happen. He's saying that in college basketball, men's college basketball, we are not too far away from an NBA player going back to college to play college basketball because he'll be able to make more money doing that. Now the key is they have to have eligibility left.
Right.
So if you think of a player on the worst team in the NBA that's making the league minimum, who maybe went to the NBA right out of high school or maybe 1 year of college, and now they're 29 years old and they have 3 years eligibility left, if they can get a couple mil to go play at Kansas or Kentucky and enroll tomorrow as a sophomore and play 3 years with a bunch of kids and dominate, this is going to happen.
Well, it's, for me, just hearing this fascinates me how, you know, the environment for these college sports keeps altering, because they have said that collegiate coaches really need to be masters of the transfer portal and masters of the NIL. So as you said, you have the forward experience of paying young students. Now you may have the reverse of a gentleman that's been a pro for a couple of years comes back to college. What do you do with your current athletes if you have that type of experience returning to your team? I mean, it's a lot of food for thought.
I have some eligibility left, and I've been thinking about, you know, I could go back and do some Division III sport. And maybe I can make like $10 an hour NIL money. And,
you know. I think the badminton team, those guys make some very good cake, as we like to say.
They could use my height. I don't know if my quickness and agility is still there, but they could use my height.
Absolutely. New research shows that life expectancy in the world has returned to pre-pandemic levels. During the pandemic, those numbers were all reduced. Data in 2023, life expectancy was 76.3 years for women and 71.5 for men. That data was published in the Journal of the Lancet, which is the British version of the American Medical Association.
Well, that is always nice to hear when life expectancy is back to normal. That's not a category you want to be abnormal.
No, and not unexpected, COVID, because, you know, you and I know that everybody will look at COVID with the reverse lens of experience and basically maybe not the best remembrance of how everything unfolded, but COVID was the leading cause of death in 2021, but it has fallen to 20th now. However, they have said that even though the life expectancy has spooled back up, death rates among children and young adults have increased in some places in the world, including North America. So they're kind of pointing out that, you know, on the rise are such things as auto accidents and drug overdoses and things of that nature. So, yeah, unfortunately, in a human life, there's a lot that can befall you, but life expectancy is at least moving in the right direction.
Stay healthy, my friends.
Yes. And speaking of life expectancy, walking 4,000 steps a day is the magic number to cut the risk of death. Now, you listen to that and you go, well, I've been getting 10,000 in, but if I can get 4 in and call it a day, that is a number that is pointed to older women. They have a new study that finds that women, older women over the age of 62, may only need to walk 4,000 steps a day to significantly reduce the risk of death.
Unless that 4,000th step is off the side of a mountain. Then
yes,
you've got some problems. But yeah, 4,000, that's good news. Far short of the 10,000 that we've all heard about.
Yeah, so that was basically some research that said that any kind of activity is always going to be positive. And then if you're walking or getting, the equivalent activity level of 4,000 steps, and you're a woman over the age of 60, that you are probably doing some good things for your health. Obviously, they said that you could do things to sort of increase your overall output. And Adam, you and I have always talked about this. They specifically mentioned things like taking the stairs, parking further away, or walking during phone calls. This walking during phone calls has become a thing. Have you noticed that?
Well, I do see a lot of people walking, talking to themselves. So they're
yes,
on board with it. They could be crazy, but I do think they're on a phone call.
Presumably they're on a phone call. Yeah, it's funny you said that because in our neighborhood, we have a corner lot. So, you know, we get the traffic sort of coming and going and turning around the corner. And I'll be in the backyard hanging out with the dog and I'll just hear somebody, I told Jones to have those reports ready for me. Blah, blah, blah. And you're like, who's Jones? And Boy, is he in trouble? And then you're realizing, oh, it's a phone call.
There's a lady in my neighborhood. We see her walking all the time. She's got her phone and she's listening to a podcast on, external speaker. So I can hear it too. And every time we get close on the sidewalk, she'll turn it down. So I don't know what she's listening to and why she doesn't want me to hear it. And so it makes me think what would be fun is to listen to like a Flat Earthers podcast while I'm walking on full volume and let my neighbors think I'm just absolutely nuts, that I think the earth is flat.
I never thought of the reverse of that. You need to make a little aluminum foil hat.
Yeah.
Listen on an external speaker to the most oblique podcast that you can, and people go, do not go around that guy.
Yeah. That's
let him just walk and stay away.
And then you know if somebody walks up and says, hey, what's the show you're listening to and how can I get a copy of it? And then you know they're the nut that you should avoid.
That's funny. You know, you and I need to do a Flat Earth podcast. I mean, we've got way too many things to do, but that would absolutely crack me up. You've given me an idea.
And we'll air it back to back with the Public Affairs Show.
There we go. Hey, here's something to think about. Even if you go, man, my eyesight has just been great many years. The eyes serve as a window into your heart health, a new study has shown. This came up recently during my annual eye exam. I've joked with my eye doctor I said, oh, my eyes are just fine. And the doctor looked at me and he said, yeah, they're not just fine. You need to pay attention and get the proper corrective lenses each year. And I have heeded his advice. But believe it or not, the tiny blood vessels that are inside your eye can let your eye doctor know whether you're aging at an accelerated rate or that you may have a heart condition.
So the bloodshot eyes is, you certainly do that math and connect it to your heart. Those little yes. capillaries are getting blood pumped into them from your heart. So yeah, so now your eye doctor is your cardiologist too?
Yeah, basically they do different scans, a retinal scan, everything. They can actually map the interior of your eye. And I found out from my eye doctor a few years ago that the eye is a better predictor of whether you have diabetes more so than the conventional blood test that's often administered to people. So the eye is an amazing sort of precursor. It's a look under the hood, if you will, of how well your overall health is so far as diabetes and as well as your heart health. So I kind of found this out because I have, what's the best way to say this? The nerd doctor who really loves this stuff and loves describing it. But I found that to be kind of amazing that just having your eyes examined each year sort of lets you, tips you in on how well you're doing with other health problems.
It's fascinating how the body works and how it's connected. It would be a little off-putting to have your eye doctor peer into your eye and say, how's your chest feel? you may want to go downstairs to the second floor after this meeting and have your chest x-rayed because your eyes look terrible.
Yeah, they look in your eyes and they go, you are one lazy sack of potatoes.
That's right.
Guilty as charged. Hey, here's a story that probably wouldn't surprise too many people. New car prices are reaching record highs in the U.S. According to Kelley Blue Book, the average American new car buyer paid just under $50,000 in September, which is the first time that figure has ever topped that level. So $50,000 is the average new car price.
I don't know if I'd ever buy a new car. Have you ever bought a brand new car?
Well, I have, and I will tell you why. I'm a big fan of the extended warranty that comes with the car. And I have found there's a couple of car manufacturers that compete amongst themselves about the, because they want a very positive customer experience. And oftentimes you can get 100,000 mile drivetrain warranties and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I do it just strictly for the warranty, but I also am ultra careful how I buy said car. I wait 8 to 9 years between transactions, and I really do a lot of research. So I'm not saying I'm doing the right thing, but I am with you just to wake up one day and say, hey, I want a brand new car. It's expensive.
It is. I bought a car about 4 years ago, maybe five now, and it was 5 years old when I bought it. And there is no, and I love the car, and there's no way I could have afforded the same car in the new year. It was at least twice as much. So I'm a fan of getting a car 5 or 6 years old to save half the cost.
Well, and that's not a bad way to go, because even used car prices have been off the chart mm-hmm. as of late, up to and including a gentleman that works with us here at the radio station. Pulled up in a fairly new car, and he's a super frugal guy, and I go, hey, that's a nice car. And he goes, yeah. He goes, it was the oddest thing. I was at the dealership. He was getting some repair work done on his spouse's car, and while he was in the waiting room, the new car manager came around the corner and said, there is such a high demand for your wife's car in the used car market, I can turn around and take this much off a new vehicle. And he showed him, and literally it was a deal too good to pass up. Now, that was opportunity meets, good luck at the right moment, because he said, there's no way I would have paid full price for the current car he's driving.
Yeah. Yeah. Those deals are out there. You just got to be in the right place, the right time, like you said.
Yep. And we will finish up here, Adam, with something that I think is pretty life-altering. Oprah Winfrey was the first one to sort of broach this topic with Americans, but there is an actual tried and true way to boost your happiness. There are a number of researchers in a lot of esteemed universities that specifically look at happiness. And when you say that, it almost sounds comical, doesn't it?
Yes. I'm waiting for your punchline right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, because it's like you think, okay, I'm going to sit around and watch kitten videos on YouTube. I'm happy now. But there is an actual way to happiness. There is a social scientist who teaches a course at Harvard, and he said that there are certain key ways to help you manage your happiness, and these will benefit your life in many ways. So I thought that was kind of cool because the list is simple, but the list, I think, if you apply yourself to some of these, you'll have a good outcome.
What number on the list is Hot Fudge Brownie Sundae?
You know, unfortunately, it didn't make the list.
But that
ordinarily would make me very happy.
You know, that's how I boost my happiness.
Absolutely. Well, the number one item to help boost your happiness is keep your mind and body active. We've always said that some form of exercise, moderation, always the key. And keeping your mind active is important as well. In fact, I think keeping your mind active has kept the Sudoku world alive for lo these many years.
Oh, hey, I Quirtle every day.
There you go.
If you don't Quirtle, you'll be sad.
I used to do Sudoku daily until there's some really difficult ones now that are published in certain newspapers. And I realized, oh, I'm never going to be able to do the really big one. So I felt kind of foolish doing the easy one.
You went the opposite direction. You boosted your sadness by playing a game you couldn't win.
I just looked at it and said, this is for someone else, not me. Here's another thing to think about to boost your happiness. Be nice to others. As I was saying, this list seems overly simplistic. But think about just being nice to others, Adam. It's something that we're all capable of doing. Sometimes, though, we get distracted or we get into our own, like, oh, I'm disappointed today, so I'm not going to be as happy, or I'm not going to be as accessible. Just be nice to others.
And you know what? This happened the other day. It's not just like be nice to somebody when they walk by, like, you know, compliment them or don't be mean to them. It could be a very proactive thing, like reaching out to somebody whose parent is going through a health ordeal and just asking them how their parent is doing. That kind of kindness goes a long way. It makes everybody feel good.
Yeah, and it might be something as simple as listening to what they're trying to tell you. You know, we have some coworkers sometimes, they'll start in on some story and, you know, I've been guilty of it in the past. Your eyes glaze over and you just kind of go, yeah. However, part of being nice is actually listening to and connecting with our coworkers and friends.
Okay, also, time for one more on the list. What do you got?
One more. Okay, so good. I didn't want to go on and on and on about this, but I think
my eyes were glazing over.
Yes.
As you were telling that story. Go ahead.
Go out in nature and spend your money on loved ones. So there's a couple of ways to help boost your happiness scientifically.
Love it, Jay. We're all happier after hearing you recite the list on how to boost your happiness. If you'd like to hear the show or any of our past episodes, you can do so in on-demand form on our website, adamritzshow.com.
The Adam Ritz Show is recorded live in studio at the Vibonomics Worldwide Headquarters. Learn more about the Vibonomics Audio Out-of-Home Marketplace at Vibonomics.com. For information on this broadcast, including past on-demand episodes, interview submissions, and syndication contacts, visit adamritzshow.com.